Please turn, if you would, to the book of Luke, the second chapter. Luke chapter 2. I have two verses I would like to read for our text today. Luke chapter 2, verse 19 says, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Verse 51. "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." We can expect people to do the unexpected. As is often reported on the news, someone will do something unforeseen. It might be positive or possibly negative, but who saw that coming? Such things are considered when the meek and mild man at work turns into a workplace shooter, or when the shy introvert takes an outward stance on a particular social injustice. People can surprise us. On the other hand, we can sometimes predict future behavior. That meek, mild man also had a troubled past and struggled with depression and demonstrated instability, but no one was paying attention. The introvert has spoken out before on certain things, but again, no one was paying attention. I believe we might well ascertain what might be if we would only be observant with what is, in conjunction with the wisdom and insight which God should bestow. All of the pieces of the puzzle don't come together at once. The close-up of a mosaic requires that you step back and see the whole picture. And so, as I like to say, put it on the back burner on low and let it cook a while. And by the way, if you do so, it is necessary to take it off and stir it on occasion. Now, how does this apply to our verses? Well, we find Mary doing exactly that, putting things on the back burner. For her, the puzzle pieces came a little at a time. And so, like the inquiry of Hillary in Benghazi, the question is, what did she know and when did she know it? I'd like to speak to you a message I've entitled, "Mary, Did You Know?" Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for these that are here. And the Lord, just set our heart apart from the thoughts and the cares of the world, we might dwell upon you today. And that message which you've laid upon my heart to share, I pray that you would just work it in every one of us by your Holy Spirit, that we might be drawn unto you, we might worship you in spirit and in truth, and we pray for those that are lost, that they might take these things, and Lord, you'd convict them and draw them unto you and grant eternal life, that they might be saved even today. Either way, Lord, we want to give you the honor and the glory and the praise, because it's due unto you and to no other, because you're God and God alone. Thank you for this time. Blessed, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you a message from these two verses we've read in Luke, and we'll look at them in just a moment. The title of the message is a question. Mary, did you know? Well, this question is a popular song, if you pay any attention to music in the Christian realm. There is a song entitled, "Mary, Did You Know?" And the words go like this. "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect Lamb? That sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am." Mary, did you know? Well, what did Mary know? I submit unto you today, and this is my first point, what did Mary know? At the very least, turn if you would back to, keep a finger here in Luke, but go back to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I want to offer you some things that I believe that Mary knew. Matthew chapter 1, and in verse 21, we have a description of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Joseph came and found her pregnant and said, well, this isn't right, but the angel appeared to Joseph and gave him some instruction. I'm absolutely confident that Joseph would have shared all this information with Mary. So I believe that Mary knew, first of all, that Jesus Christ is a deliverer, that He is the Savior. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Keep a finger in Matthew. Go back to Luke and chapter 1 this time. Luke chapter 1. I believe she knew that this child is the Savior. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. When the angel spoke to Mary herself, says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, Yeshua, the Savior. Look into chapter 2, verse 11. Luke 2, 11. The shepherds were in the field, and they came, and they saw this vision of the angels singing. And they came to see where the baby, and they told everything that they heard. Luke 2, 11. Part of that which is told them, it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior. First thing Mary knew is that this one, this baby, what did she know? She knew that this one is the Savior of men. Number two, back to Matthew chapter 2. Keep a finger in Luke. We'll be coming right back. But Matthew chapter 2. I believe that she knew that he was special. And the reason I believe that is because in Matthew chapter 2, and I'm going to read one verse, which is verse 11. And this talks about when the wise men show up from the east and they bestow gifts, right? So Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, and while they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Why? I'll tell you, that doesn't happen every day, does it? Where these wise men would travel from afar, come into a house, worship a child, and present gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Does that happen every day? No, it's a very rare occasion. Probably only ever here. Why? Because this child is special. Did Mary know that there's something different with this child? Yes, absolutely. Not just because of, well, that she knew that he was the Savior and these other things that we're going to look at, but, hey, these guys show up and worship him and give him these gifts. And so he is indeed special. She knows that. Where does she put that information? She puts it on the back burner. I'm telling you, that's what we're going to find as we look into these verses. Number three. There in, back in Luke, and I'll be coming back to Matthew. Well, I'll just make the reference to Matthew. In Luke chapter 1 this time. The third thing that Mary knew is that he is, this Jesus is the Son of God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 32, when the angel's talking to Mary, he says, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. That's a statement of deity. Verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Did she have any question about who this person is? No. And so what does she know? She knows that this Jesus is the Savior. She knows that He is special. And she knows this is the Son of God. The reference over in the book of Matthew in chapter 1 and in verse 23 in that instruction unto Joseph, they said, thou shalt call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, I have two children, but no angel came to me and said, they're the sons of God. You had children. Nobody ever came to you and said, this is God. But they did for her. And this child is a unique child. Why? Because he is indeed God come in the flesh. He is the Son of the Highest. Now you're there in Luke. What else did Mary know? Number four. Luke chapter 1, verse 32, the last part of the verse. Into verse 33. And she also knew that he's going to be the king over Israel. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. What did she know about this baby? This is the future king of Israel. Now, you might have desired that your child would be the president. Oh, they're going to be president one day. Well, they didn't make it, did they? But this is the king of Israel. Did she know it to be true? Yeah, she knew that. So that song can raise up some questions. Mary, did you know? Well, there are things that she knew. There were things that she understood, that he is indeed the king of Israel. Number five, Luke chapter 2. When they take him up to the temple to have him circumcised, Simeon is there. Simeon pronounces some things and makes this declaration. And in Luke chapter 2 and in verse 30, what we find is that he is again the deliverer. He is the Savior, but bear with me as we finish these verses. 2:30, he says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Is this a direct a statement in regard to the matter of the redemption of men's souls, or is it perhaps in reference to God delivering the nation of Israel from the through the Messiah, that one who is to come and deliver the people? Well, either way, we see that Simeon recognizes Jesus as the deliverer. Was Mary there? Did she hear the words? Did she know this? Yeah, she understood. But then if you look into the next verse, we find a declaration even involving the Gentiles, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. All people. He's even going to be a light to the Gentiles. And so all people, this baby is going to affect every person in the world. He is indeed the deliverer. But then you'll notice that as Simeon continues to speak, this verse 35, you find that he even gives indication of the death or sacrifice of this one. Because in your King James translation, you'll find it in a parenthetical at the beginning of the verse. It says, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also." He's telling Mary what's going to happen is this one is the deliverer, and he's going to be for the rise and fall of many, but you're going to get like a sword cut to the heart. You know why? Who stood at the cross of Jesus? Mother Mary. Mary was there. And Jesus, as he hung on the cross, said, "John, behold thy mother. And you take care of her now, because I'm going to die," you see. Do you think Mama had a great concern for her son? You think she was cut to the heart as she watches her child die? Absolutely. Is that a sword cut to the heart? And Simeon said this on the eighth day after he was born. "A sword shall pierce through thine own soul also," indicating the death and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did Mary know that? Did she ever carry that with her? I believe that she did. And a little further on in Luke chapter 2 and in verse 38, well, Anna, the prophetess, she was there. And she addresses the fact that he is the Redeemer of Israel. And it says, "And she coming in that instance gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." What is that? I believe it's a reference to his Messiahship. And remember the apostles, as they walked with Jesus Christ, they had a little bit of confusion because they expected him to deliver the nation during his earthly life. And when he was talking about dying and going to the cross and being delivered to the hands of the Gentiles, they couldn't figure that out. They were over there scratching their head because they expected him to deliver them there. You know why? Because they knew he was the Messiah. Did Mary have an indication that this was the Messiah? Yes, absolutely she did. On the eighth day she knew. Not just that he was king, but he was the Messiah, the one that should deliver the nation. She knew that. She knew that. Then if you'll go to the end of Luke chapter 2, and in verse 50, the last thing that I submit unto you that Mary knew, and this is, and I'm sure that she knew a whole lot more than that, and she's seen a whole lot more than what's recorded in the Scripture, but this is just what we have recorded. So I stay with the Bible, and I don't make up things, and I don't try to, you know, I mean, some of the writers will say that he used to make clay pigeons and turn them into real pigeons and did all kinds of things and did miracles for the kids and so forth. He was entertaining his friends. Well, I don't know about any of that. I'm going to stick right here with the Bible. And there are things that she knew, and I've offered you five of these things. The last thing is this, and this is when he was 12. And they went up to Jerusalem to worship. And when they left, he wasn't in the crowd and of the caravan. And so they went back to look for him. 3 days later, they found him talking and asking questions with the Jewish leaders. And verse 50 is the statement. And it says, "And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them." What did he say? He said in the verse before that, he says, "How is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business?" What did Jesus, at the age of 12, told mom and dad, "I am doing my Father's business," not your business, but my Father's business. They already knew he was the Son of the Highest. She'd logged that a long time ago. And he says, "I must be about my Father's business." Now that word of business is implied in the text. But it is certainly found in, as the flow of the Greek there to recognize that he's doing the work that his Father has sent him to do. She did not understand that statement, and who would? I mean, really, truly. The things that have been told her by the angels and by the shepherds and by Joseph, her husband, and even Anna and Simeon. I can understand her having a lot of questions, can't you? Do you think she sees the whole picture? I don't think she sees the whole picture. Here she doesn't even understand. That's what it tells us in the text. They understood not the saying. It just didn't yet. 12 years into this, it still doesn't make sense. What did Mary know? Well, I offered you a smattering of things of what she did know. But let me offer you then the second part of my message, and that is, what did Mary do? Okay, we know what she knew. But what did she do with what she knew? Luke chapter 2. Here's the reading that we gave. These two verses. Luke 2, verse 19, first of all. "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." What did she do? Two words here. That's the word "kept" and the word "pondered." The word "kept," according to the Greek tools that I have in my possession anyway, is defined to mean to keep safe and sound. It is to protect from harm. But it also is the idea to observe strictly. And so they also define this word to mean to preserve in memory, to keep carefully in mind. These things are coming about. And it says that Mary kept all these things. She kept them in her heart. She'd have been in our society. She may have had a diary and wrote all that stuff down. And where she keeps the closest things in her thinking. But she kept them in her heart. So when she heard what the angel said before she was ever pregnant, she was logging it away, wasn't she? Put it on the back burner and turn it on low. All these things that we discussed and the many other things that we don't know about, she was putting these things in her memory. She kept them careful in her mind. She itemized them in her thinking. But that word "pondered" then, verse 19, she not only kept all these things, but she pondered them in her heart. The word "pondered," actually, this Greek term means to throw together. And what the idea behind this is to meet or to join. It's kind of like, well, we'll say that people get together in the workplace and we'll say, well, that's the meeting of the minds. Right? We use that phrase. People coming together. That's this word. And so this word means to encounter. It is to engage with. It is to consult together. or to ponder upon. So what do you think Mary did here? All the things that she knew, she kept and she pondered. She just didn't have a listing of items that happened. She'd take it out and think about it, mull it over, work it out. If she'd had a marker board, there's no doubt in my mind that she'd have wrote on here this and that and this and that, or she might have had a piece of paper here with a string leading over to the piece of paper here, to a string leading to a piece of paper over there. However people do their deciphering, Mary pondered. Now, that's what the Bible said. Too many times we log things away and we never think about it again. She didn't do that. She knew about these things, and she kept them in her thinking, and she pondered them. She was working it out the best she could. That's what the Bible tells us. Now, we did look at that other verse, verse 51. And if you'll notice in the King James, we have a translation of the word kept. And so after this occasion of the when he was 12, and they found him in the marketplace and talking in the temple with these people, he says, I must be about my father's business. She didn't understand that. But what did she do? Verse 51, last part of the verse. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. The word kept here is a different word, kept, than what we saw in verse 19. This, but it's very close. But it's a different term. This word means to watch carefully or to guard with diligence. And the idea behind that then is to treasure up. When it's important to you, you really keep an eye on it, don't you? You drop a nickel on the street, you might leave it lay. You got all your vast wealth, you kind of keep an eye on that, don't you? You're treasuring it up. And what this tells me about Mary is that, I mean, this is at the age of 12. And all those things that we have no clue happened during those 12 years, she's filing them away. She's got it on a back burner. That thing's simmering. She takes it out, stirs it on occasion, and puts it back. She's trying to figure it all out. And now we get this event, and he talks about, well, my father, I must be about my father's business. She goes, man, that really makes no sense at all. But I'm filing that one away too. This is important to me. And it should be important. Every one of you have had children have things that are very important to you, memories that you cherish, don't you? You don't want to forget those things. Family and friends, you have cherished memories. Parents, you cherish those things. That's Mary. Mary kept these things and she pondered these things. And again, we read that she kept those things. This being the case, I submit unto you. So let me offer you in summation, if I may. I submit by these terms and the definitions behind them that she recognized that these things were special. She knew this was different. She filed those things away in her memory. She visited those things on occasion to preserve the pathway to that memory. What do we say? If you don't use it, you'll lose it. True, isn't it? Got to go back and visit it or you might forget how to get back there. She visited that and she remembered. She would also brainstorm over those things. Remember the word pondered? She would brainstorm over that. She tried to decipher the meaning. What did he mean by that? I must be about my father's business. What did he mean? She would attempt to discern the mistake all along. I mean, I can see her doing this on a regular basis. And she, not just when she's 12, when he was 12, but rather that, hey, when he was 2 and 3, she's trying to say, man, I'm trying to figure this out. When he's 15 and 16, she's trying to figure this out. I see her brainstorming this because she kept and pondered those things. And we also know that she kept adding to the storehouse of the words and the deeds. As we just read in the last passage there in chapter 2, verse 51, she kept all these sayings in her heart. And when another saying came up, what'd she do with it? Stuck it in there. That's what Mary did with all those things. She kept adding to it. And there were many more things than what we've discussed today. And I believe that she ensured that nothing was forgotten. I mean, she tried to remember everything she could remember. And no doubt she would sit down with Joseph on occasion and say, you know what, remember when he was just two? And remember he did this? And remember he said this? Remember what the angel said before I even was pregnant? What do you think all that means? I believe that she placed great value on those observations, those tidbits, those facts, and those memories. I believe that she put all that and logged it away because it was important. And although she never really understood it all, she didn't abandon the case files. Can I use that term, case files? Is that all right? She didn't give up on it. You watch TV and they talk about these cold cases, you know, and sometimes those cold cases, the files get lost someplace and they don't even ever address it again. Not for her. All those things she kept. She pondered them. She just dealt with it all the time. She kept those case files. And I believe that at least in the very least, she was able to conclude some things. And I believe this is the case as is seen in her response in the wedding. Remember in John chapter 2 when there was a wedding in Cana and they ran out of wine? And she says in verse 5, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. Now why would she do that? Unless she knew. She had not put the pieces together. She had not seen the whole picture. She didn't really have an understanding who he was. But she's seen all these things, all these years, these 30 years. And now he enters into this public ministry, which was a shock to them. And she says, well, whatever he says to you, you do. Do you know why? Because she knew there was something about this guy. Something about this baby. She's heard it from the time before she was ever pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And she knew. I think there was some conclusion in her mind, but somewhere in the course of time, she embraced him as Savior. I don't know when, but she finally was able to get the pieces together, recognize that he is indeed the Messiah, he's the Savior. She was a sinner, needed saved, and she trusted him. I believe that she was saved. In the course of time. No doubt after he began his ministry. So, Mary, did you know? That's a good question. And I've offered you some things of what she did know. Well, let me ask you this for my last point. What about you? What do you know? Now, I recognize that you might not understand everything about the Bible, or you cannot discern everything that perhaps you hear from the pulpit. That might be true. However, I would submit unto you, you need to remain attentive and make observation. Some people, what they do is they say, well, I don't understand what he's talking about. I just won't ever go back. They read the Bible one time and they go, I don't understand it. And they never open it up. Don't do that. Remain attentive. Make observation. That's what she did. She didn't quit. She didn't give up on it. Discern that this is the Word of God and it's worthy of attention. You might not understand. I don't understand it all. But I don't give up on the book. File those things away in your heart and mind. Those things that's been witnessed to you in the preaching and the teachings. The things that you've read. File those things away in your heart and mind. And bring them out from time to time and keep that pathway fresh. You don't understand everything, no. But you just keep working on it. Maul those things over in your heart and your mind. And try to put the pieces together. Try to make sense of it. And of course, you need to seek God to give you understanding. I would encourage you to do that. You know what it says over in the book of Luke chapter 24? Remember after his resurrection, and he went with the two on the road to Emmaus and spoke to them. And well, I'm just picking up later on when he came back, they came back to Jerusalem and they were discussing, and Jesus appears to them in the upper room once again. And this is what it says. Listen to Luke chapter 24, verse 44. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, with all things, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. I told you and taught you. Then it says in verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And I'll tell you, my friend, you say, well, I have a hard time understanding what the preacher's saying. I have a hard time reading in the Bible. Then you just keep doing it and you keep studying and you keep logging it away and you ask God to open up your understanding. Don't give up on God and His Word. Over in the book of Acts chapter 16 and verse 14, it talks about a lady by the name of Lydia. And it says that the Lord opened Lydia's heart. You hear you're lost. You said, well, I've heard the gospel for a long time, been in church a long time, but I know I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I just can't quite put it all together. Well, you just keep seeking and you keep longing and you keep following after God, and maybe, perhaps by God's grace, He'll open up your heart. If God doesn't open up your heart, it will never be open. So you better be asking God to open up your heart. I submit unto you that maybe those things that you don't understand, you don't remember, you can't put the pieces together. Just don't give up. Let me be a little bit more specific. Maybe you're here today and you struggle with things that I think that Mary and Joseph would have struggled with. For instance, do you think she struggled with the incarnation of Jesus? I mean, they told her that this is the Son of the Highest. This is God. I mean, His name's Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Do you think she struggled with that? Wouldn't you? Angel appears to you before you're pregnant, ladies, and says, you're going to have a child and this is the Son of God? That's a toughie. What'd she do with it? She keeps it in her heart. She struggled with that. Maybe you're today struggling with the understanding of the incarnation of Jesus. It doesn't make sense to me how God can come down and become a man. I can't explain it all either, but I'll tell you, I believe it with all my heart. You can't believe it yet. You haven't come to that understanding yet. You struggle with the idea and the concept excuse me that Jesus became a man. God manifest in the flesh. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God became a man. In Philippians in chapter 2, listen if you will to verse 6 and verse 7. It says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. I say to you that the Bible tells us that God in heaven sent His Son to this world, and He left heaven, came to earth, and became a man. You say, I don't understand that. Then you just put it in the back burner and turn it on low. And you pull it out and you stir it up on occasion. You keep studying the Word of God. And maybe by God's grace, one day it'll click and it'll make sense. Until then, don't give up on it. Will you struggle with the incarnation of Jesus? You struggle with the idea of Jesus being the Messiah? He was called the Deliverer of Israel, we read. He was called the King of Israel. He was called the Anointed of God. The Anointed One is the Messiah. He's called Christ the Lord, we read in those passages. Will you believe it? Do you know that Christ is indeed the Messiah? You know, in our society, we talk about those who are called Messianic Jews. These are Jewish people who come to understand that Christ is indeed the Messiah. They believe on Him and they're saved. They're called Messianic Jews. And yet, as a Gentile, there you sit. You still haven't been able to put the pieces together. You don't recognize that He's the Messiah. I would remind you in Luke chapter 4 and in verse 18, Jesus had said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of our Lord. Who is that? He is indeed the Messiah. In Isaiah chapter 9, I would remind you this prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, and Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And it goes on and talks about how there'll be no end to His government. I submit unto you that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ is the Messiah that was promised to come. You can't handle that right now. You can't put the pieces together, but don't give up on it. Keep it in your heart. Maybe like them, that you struggle with the idea that He's a sacrifice for sinners. That rising and fall of many against many. And Mary had that soul soared to her heart. How do you figure that out? How long did it take her to get that? Was it when she stood at the cross that she finally understood? I don't know. But this is tough. Do not give up on those kind of things. Why? Because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Yes, God became a man, and He's the Messiah that was coming to the world, but He came as a Savior, and a Savior of sinners. And so in that text in Philippians chapter 2, we read in verse 6 and verse 7 that He should come. But in verse 8 it says, when He did, it says, "In being found in fashion of a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Why did He do that? Because He was a sacrifice for sinners. And so we read in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we were healed. All we like sheep are gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Christ is the sacrifice for sinners, verse 10 says. "It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Christ is a sacrifice for sinners. You haven't been able to put that together yet, but don't give up. Put it on the back burner, turn it on low, and you take it out and ponder it. Ask God to show you. And perhaps you haven't recognized, like they struggled. I believe that they had a difficulty recognizing their sinful condition and the need for a Savior to begin with. And some of you have that problem. They needed a deliverer. I mean, the Scripture talks about it. He's a deliverer. He's a Savior. He's a light. Well, if you don't accept the fact that you're a sinner against a holy God, you're not going to understand that. They may have struggled with that. But I'll tell you, the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we're told. Yet God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that amazing? As we read about who He is and what He has done. And you might be struggling with some of these things, but maybe some of that struggle comes from the fact you won't even accept the fact that you're a sinner before a holy God and deserve the judgment and the wrath of God forever. You say, "Well, I just don't get it, preacher." What do you do with it? I think these are things that Mary struggled with. And so I close by submitting unto you that if you struggle with these things, that you should do like Mary. What did she do? Well, she was aware of the truth. When she saw those things, she recognized them, and well, then she put it into her memory. She kept them, didn't she? So you know the truth. Put it in your memory. Ponder what you know. That's what Mary did. Add to your knowledge. Keep adding. And perhaps one day, you'll embrace it by faith. Mary, did you know? Well, she knew some things, but it really never came together until later, when God opened her heart. What do you know today? And if you're struggling with it, will you seek God's face and call upon Him to open up your heart so that you would understand and believe and be saved? Mary, did you know? Let's stand. Father, we commit this time to You today. We love You, we honor You, we praise You, and we ask that You bless Your Word to our hearts and work it by Your Holy Spirit, saving the lost and strengthening those of us who are saved. Thank You for that revelation You've given to us. Thank You for the life that You've given to us. Thank You for the awareness and understanding of precious truth. And Lord, continue to work that in our lives, that we continue to grow in You and Your Word. And so again, we commit all this to You today, and we honor You with it, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Numbers 210.